Our text this morning, as you can see, is Revelation chapter 16. This is part 6 of our series. We'll be dealing with verses 3 through 7, but we begin at the beginning and read all of the chapter. Hear now God's word. Then I heard a great sound from the tabernacle to the seven messengers. Go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the land. And the first went forth and poured out from its bowl into the land, and an evil and malignant sore came to be on the men having the mark of the beast and adoring its image. And the second poured out from its bowl into the sea, and blood as of a corpse came to be, and every being that was alive in the sea rotted. And the third poured out from its bowl into the rivers and their water sources, and there blood came to be. And I heard the water's messenger saying, Just are you, the is and the was, the Holy One, for you did judge thus because they did pour out the blood of the righteous and the prophets. Therefore you have given them blood to drink. Worthy they are. Then I heard saying from the incense altar, Yes, Kyrie, Almighty God, true and righteous your judgments. And the fourth poured out its bowl on the sun, and it was given it to burn men in fire, fierce heat. And the men were burned, and they blasphemed the God having the power of these plagues, and did not turn to give him glory. And the fifth poured out its bowl on the seat of the beast, and its kingdom became shrouded in darkness, and they were gnawing their tongues from the misery, and they blasphemed the God of the heaven for their pains and their sores, but they did not turn from their works. And the sixth poured out its bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the approach of the kings from the sun's rising would be prepared. And then I saw three unclean spirits as frogs from the mouth of the dragon, and from the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of the pseudo-prophet. These are demon spirits going forth unto the kings of the whole world, doing signs to gather them into the great war of the day of Almighty God. Lo, I come as a thief. Blessed the ones watching and guarding his garments, that he may not be walking about uncovered, and they observe his shame. And it gathered them in a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. And the seventh poured out its bowl upon the air. And there was a great sound from the holy place of the throne, saying, It is come. And lightnings and sounds and thunders came, and there was great shaking, such as there never was since man came to be on the land. And the great city was made into three parts, and the cities of the people fell, and Babylon the great was recalled before God to give it the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled, no mountains were found. Great hail, as talent weight, comes down from the heaven on the men, and from the plague of the hail the men blasphemed God, for its plague is exceedingly great. Ends now the reading of God's holy word. Thank you. Please be seated. As you remember, according to Moses, as he received from Yahweh at Sinai, open sores and skin lesions on anybody in the camp had to be made clean, and they had to be declared clean by the priest before one could approach a holy God at his tabernacle, that is, the law of the sacrifices. For those unclean things are signs of death and sin and the depravity of mankind and separation from God. One had to be made clean in order to be acceptable to the Lord of hosts. The prophecies of Moses and Isaiah foretell and foretell the full body uncleanness of God's people in the land, as John is shown here in the pouring out of the first bowl. From the soles of their feet to the crowns of their heads, they are unclean before God, and there's nothing that they can do about it. No washing, no covering them up, no anointing them with oil, no ointments of any kind, nothing. Being unclean, they are forbidden by Yahweh to approach him. Therefore, God hates their prayers, he hates their sacrifices, he hates their feasts, he hates their assemblies and their convocations, because they are unclean, and their participation in the assemblies and the ceremonies was an abomination. That's why Yahweh said that he hates their prayers and their solemn assemblies. As John looks on the first messenger to pour out the very first bowl of the full and final wrath of Yahweh upon the land, is the sign of that despicable uncleanness. Those remaining live in the land of promise, God's heaven and earth paradise. And they are bloody men, having poured out the blood of the righteous, including the blood of the Christ himself and those that he came to seek and to save. They have despised their Creator. They have despised their Deliverer and have covenantally attached themselves to this fourth beast of world history, the Roman Empire, by taking its mark. And they're hypocritically practicing all of these ceremonies. They're practicing the sacrifices of the tabernacle while being unclean, strictly forbidden in God's law word. Our Lord, you remember, pronounced them hypocrites. But all through her history, Israel sacrificed to dumb idols, pouring out blood on God's heaven and earth paradise, on all the high places and all the groves and under the great trees of the land, just like the pagans before them had, just like the pagan nations that are now all around them, even to the point, the scripture says, of pouring out the blood of their own sons and daughters. The blood is the life. And pouring out blood to wood and stone idols is giving life to them. And trying to give life to an idol is to despise the one true God of heaven and earth. And the land, the paradise of God, is fouled by the idolatry. As we've seen before, Israel's not only guilty of pouring out blood to idols, but it has poured out the blood of all the righteous in history. It has poured out the blood of the prophets. It's poured out the blood of the Christ. And it's poured out the blood of many of those who our Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. The land that Yahweh created for this people, this paradise on earth, a place in which he chose to make his presence known, his glory known, the heaven and earth with its tabernacle, all of which was the very image of his heavenly tabernacle, was fouled by the pouring out of blood in all the pagan high places, the pouring out of blood in all the beautiful groves of Israel, the pouring out of blood to idols under all the great green trees of Israel. It was fouled by an unclean people approaching Yahweh in his holy place and hypocritically pouring out the blood of the sacrifice. The sign shown to John is now about the blood. The blood is the life. Israel has poured out the blood of idols of wood and stone and silver and gold. It's poured out life to them. As is clear in the ceremonial and sacrificial law and Moses' instructions to the 12 tribes in Deuteronomy chapter 12 that we read earlier, the only place that Yahweh chose for the sacrifices to be made, the blood of the sacrifices to be poured out, was that one place chosen by Yahweh that prefigured the pouring out of the blood of the Son of Man, Son of God. As we've heard, the dragon was deceived. The beast was deceived. The land beast, the pseudo-prophets of Israel, was deceived. And all who remained in the land were deceived. For by the pouring out of the blood of the Christ, every single one of those of the promise was marked, sealed, and delivered. All the rest remaining in the land, isolated for destruction and decreation in the full and final wrath of Almighty God. After the sign of the uncleanness of all that remained in the land, John is shown the blood as the second and third bowls of the full wrath of God were about to be poured out. Having seen now Israel's whole Bible history of pouring out blood to idols all over the land, and having seen now Israel's whole Bible history of pouring out the blood of the righteous, we have a better understanding of why God now pours out two bowls of wrath having to do with blood. Now we need a whole Bible perspective, don't we, of how God perceives the full and final judgment upon the land as the sea and the rivers and all the water sources are now decreated and blood came to be. We have to add to our understanding now of the blood. First, though, we have to see the reason for two bulls of wrath here, don't we? One on the sea and one on the rivers and water sources. And that only becomes obvious when the scripture is read in continuity, like we are wont to do, since we are covenantal. We are of the people of covenantal continuity. It's been noted numerous times that God placed this people who he called Israel in a garden that was in the likeness of his original Edenic paradise. In fact, as we've seen before, he even uses the heaven and earth language to refer to Israel, a similar language to that which is prominent in the whole creation narrative in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Let's not forget that the creation itself and then the creation of the land of Israel are both in the likeness of God's glory cloud tabernacle. He is the God of the Lord of hosts. That's where his glory is, his holy tabernacle in the heavens. That's where he is manifesting his glory, and his glory is to be reflected in everything that he has made. Should we do a full exegesis of Moses' creation narrative, that which is pertinent to our text here at the beginning of chapter 16 would likely become evident, because God's creation of the seas and his creation of the rivers and their water sources are two distinctly separate creation events in Genesis. And so the decreation of the sea and the decreation of the rivers and their water sources is two separate decreation events. That's the reason. But the one who is, the one who is, was, the one who is, shall be, as revealed in an earlier chapter of the Revelation, has reflected his own glory cloud tabernacle in the creation of an earthy paradise with its own firmament, with its own light its own sun and moon and stars in God's perception, and its own mountains, its own valleys, and its own rivers and water sources. It is this lush land growing the very best of everything. It is its own sea and land, as in the original creation. It has its own animals. He places a people in this paradise, just like he did at the beginning in Genesis. And he waters it then with the rivers and water sources, just like he did in Genesis. And he caused a tabernacle, like unto the one in the heaven, to be built right in its midst. It looks like God's heavenly tabernacle, you see. And just as he did at the Genesis, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit required worship and obedience from them, and even gave them specific knowledge of the coming Messiah in both creations. The coming anointed one of God would pour out his blood in one particular location chosen of God, and the blood was the life. But, as at the beginning, Israel fouled God's paradise by pouring out the blood of the righteous upon the land and by pouring out the blood of the sacrifices to idols of wood and stone and silver and gold all over the land. The blood is the life. It was poured out like water everywhere and anywhere. As we work through the text of the scripture, we'll observe the many implications of God's intent as he shows John the two bowls of his wrath bringing blood to be, as he proceeds in the full and final decreation of his heaven and earth Israel. So, because of the prominence given to the blood by God all through his word, we need to search his mind in some of the corresponding passages of his holy word. We've already noted that our Lord laid the blood of all the righteous in history to the account of this generation, quote unquote, as recorded by Matthew. Everybody, please forgive me for stating the obvious. I guess I ought to get a prize for stating the obvious one more time. This generation, quote unquote, is not the one we live in. Jesus Christ went all the way back to Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. This generation, the generation of Judaists to whom he was speaking, would suffer the blood of Abel. After the elect of the 12 tribes of Jacob were delivered, that means rescued, saved, same word. After they were delivered from the wrath of God, all those remaining in the land, according to God's holy word, would suffer the blood of all the righteous in history, including the pouring out of the blood of the Christ and many of his own people. We also noted that having destroyed the earth in the flood and having saved Noah and his family by water, God told Noah and his sons to replenish the earth, that he would never destroy the earth again by water, and that he would require the life, the blood of those who poured out man's blood. The blood is the life. So, in order that we gain additional insight into the mind of our God, let's look at the great continuity of God's word in some corresponding passages. I won't be too long with this, okay? Listen carefully. Then Yahweh said to Joshua, "Say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from Who? The avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of the city. They shall take him into the city, give him a place, and he shall remain there. If the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not give him up into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unknowingly, didn't hate him in the past. And he shall remain in that city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the high priest at that time. Then the manslayer may return. He may be freed to go to his town, his own home, in the town from which he fled. One who is not guilty of pouring out the blood by intent is shielded from the avenger of blood. Who have the people in God's holy tabernacle prayed to God to do? To avenge their blood. One who is not guilty of pouring out the blood by intent, shielded now from the avenger of blood, and at the death of the priest, the death of the high priest, the innocent is set free. Who is the avenger? Who is our high priest? For the sake of time, we have to pass on the dozens of passages in the history of the kings, in the chronicles of the kings, in the prophets during those times. But it has to be mentioned that Yahweh refused to allow King David to build his tabernacle, temple, on the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, because David was a man of war, and he had poured out much blood in the land. However, the Psalms are full of salient revelation concerning the blood. Can't pass up a couple of them because they hearken back to God's holy law word. They are prophetic of the vengeance of the avenger to come upon those who do pour out blood. Let's listen now to a portion of Psalm 106. They did not destroy the peoples as Yahweh commanded them, referring back to Joshua, of course, but mingled themselves with the nations and learned their works and served their idols, which became a snare, a trap to them. And yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto demons and poured out innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, who they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land, that is, God's holy land, was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their works. They played the harlot in all their doings. Therefore there was the wrath of God kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. From David's Psalm 58, we hear this: the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stops up her ear and doesn't listen to the voice of charmers. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great jaw teeth of the young lions, O Yahweh. Let them melt away as water that runs off when he aims his arrows. Let them be as though they're blunted. Let them be as a snail which melts and passes away, as an untimely birth of a woman they have not seen the sun. Before their pots can even feel the heat from the thorns that have been set fire, he will sweep everything away with a whirlwind, green and burning alike. The righteous, however, shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. The psalmist, speaking with a very inspired voice of wisdom himself, loathes the pouring out of sacrificial blood in all those high places of pagan worship all over the land, the very thing that Moses warned this people about. And he detests the pouring out of innocent blood, for even the sons and daughters of Israel, the 12 tribes of Jacob, are demonically sacrificed to gods of wood and stone and silver and gold, and in his vengeance, Yahweh will one day sweep it all away in his great wrath, and the righteous will rejoice in that vengeance because this people is a bloody people. As we already know, God sent prophet after prophet to the kings and the priests, the scribes, the elders of Israel. The call to repentance was relentless for 1,500 years, for they were indeed a bloody people. Listen to just a few passages from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, very short. Isaiah chapter 1, "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you offer prayers, I will not hear, because your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." These are the words of Yahweh to Israel through the prophet Isaiah. Repentance, the call for repentance, is relentless all through the text of the scripture. From Jeremiah chapter 19, "Because the people have forsaken me and have profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods, who neither they nor their fathers nor their kings of Judah have known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of innocents and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, which I didn't command, I didn't decree, nor did it ever even come into my mind. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when this place shall no more be called Topheth," that is burning, "or the valley of the son of Hinnom, Gehenna, but the valley of slaughter." From Ezekiel chapter 32, "Thus saith Yahweh, I will spread out my net on you with a company of many peoples, and they shall bring you up in my net, and I'll leave you upon the land. I'll cast you forth upon the open field, cause all the birds of the heaven to settle on you. I'll satiate the beasts of the whole land with you, and I'll lay your flesh on the mountains and fill the valleys with the height of you. I'll also water the land with the flowing of your blood, even up to the mountains, and the water sources will be full of you." The prophecy that we're now reading. "And when I blot you out, I'll cover the heaven, make the stars dark, I'll cover the sun with a cloud, the moon will not give its light, all the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over you and set darkness upon your land," says Yahweh. Ezekiel 35, "I will lay your cities waste, and you shall be desolate, and you shall know I am Yahweh, because you have cherished a perpetual enmity and have given over the children of Israel to the power of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of the final punishment of their iniquity. Therefore, as I live, says Yahweh, I will prepare you unto blood, and blood will pursue you, since you've not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue you, and I'll make Mount Seir an astonishment and a desolation. I'll cut off from it him that passes through, him that returns, and fill its mountains with the slain. In your hills and your valleys and all your water sources shall they fall that are slain with the sword, and I'll make you a perpetual desolation, and your cities shall be uninhabitable. And you shall know that I am Yahweh. And Ezekiel 38, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the land and all the men that are upon the face of the land shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall all be thrown down, the steep places fall, every wall in the land shall fall to the ground. And I shall call for a sword against him into all my mountains, says Yahweh. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and with pestilence and with blood shall I enter into judgment with him, and I'll rain on him, raining upon his hordes and upon the many people that are with him, a torrential rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone, and I'll magnify myself. I'll sanctify myself. I'll make myself known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. All that remains will be that which cannot be shaken. Yahweh will bring a final end to that which he has created in the land. Just from these few quotes from God through these major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that Israel's portion in the latter days will be blood. For the blood is the life. Israel's poured out the blood of the righteous all through its history. It's poured out blood in sacrifices to idols all through its history, polluting the entire paradise of God, the land and the sea and its rivers and all of its water sources. As far as the minor prophets are concerned, just for brevity's sake, I'll just read only one for you. Here's the prophet Joel in chapter 3. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh is coming. It is near at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. It's a great blackness spread upon the mountains, a great people, a strong people, such as has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after them, even to the years of all generations. And a fire devours before them, behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Behind them, a desolate wilderness. Yea, none can escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen they do run, like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains do they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. At their presence, all the people are in anguish, their faces waxed pale. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. They march everyone on his way. They don't break ranks. Neither does one thrust another. They march everyone in his own path, and they burst through all the weapons, and they don't break off their course. They leap upon the city. They run upon the wall, and they climb up into the houses, and they enter in the windows like a thief in the night. We'll get to that next time. The land quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened. The stars withdraw their shining. And Yahweh utters his voice before his army. It's his army, you see. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executes Yahweh's word. For the day of Yahweh is great and terrible. Who can abide it? Skipping down a little bit in this chapter of Joel, it shall come to pass. Here's some of the good part. That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days, I'll pour out my spirit. Then, in other words, after that, I will show wonders in the heaven and the earth. Heaven and earth. Israel, the paradise of God. I will show wonders in the heaven and earth. Blood. Fire. Pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. The moon shall be turned into blood before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape. As Yahweh has said, and among the remnant, those who Yahweh did call. That, of course, is the passage, remember, that the Apostle Peter quoted as he began his preaching at Pentecost. 50 days after the Lord's crucifixion. There had been a great and mighty pouring out baptism of Holy Spirit from God the Father and the resurrected and ascended God the Son. All those who belong to him have been kept by him, may I say, shielded by him. And there, of course, is the remnant of Jacob. And they will escape before the great and terrible day of Yahweh. And all of the land, and all who remain in the land, will reap the reward for pouring out blood throughout Israel's history. Move quickly now to Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, Jesus said. You repair the tombs of the prophets, adorn the monuments of the righteous, and then you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have been partakers of them in the blood of the prophets. That's what they said to Jesus. So, Jesus continues, you are witnesses to yourselves that you are sons of those who killed the prophets. And you fill up the measure of your fathers. Serpents, brood of vipers, how shall you escape from the judgment of Gehenna? Because of this, lo, I send to you prophets, sages, scribes, the apostles of Jesus, the remnant, Jacob, of them you will kill and crucify, and of them you'll scourge in your synagogues, and you will persecute them from city to city, in order that all righteous blood shall come upon you, which has been spilled upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel until the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, who you murdered between the temple and the altar. Amen, I say to you, these things shall come upon this generation. Standing there talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders and the priests of Israel. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, she who kills the prophets and stones the ones who are being sent to her. How many times I wished to gather together your children, even as a bird gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Lo, final word. Lo, your house is left to you a desolation. Skipping over to Matthew 27. So, when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but rather that a tumult was arising among all the people, he took water of cleansing, washed his hands before the multitude. I'm innocent of the blood of this righteous man. You see to it. All the people answered him. What did they say? His blood be on us and on our children. And so it was. 40 years later, as John looks on in the tabernacle of Almighty God, Yahweh is about to give them blood, just as they asked of Pilate. Sea becomes the putrefied blood of a corpse. Everything in it rots. The rivers and water sources of Israel become blood. There's only blood to drink. For our Lord prophesied that the land would suffer the blood of all the righteous in history. As you can see from the text, the water messenger then lifts up its voice in praise and honor of the Holy One, the is and the was, because of his justice. Verses 5 and 6. Then in verse 7 of the text, John hears a great shout of affirmation. From where? From the incense altar, the place of prayer. Incense altar in the tabernacle of God in the heaven. It comes from who? Comes from the remnant of Jacob, whose blood has been poured out. You remember chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Those whose blood has been poured out prayed that Almighty God would avenge their blood. John hears them now, in verse 7, shout, yes, Kyrie. That means Lord. Almighty God, true and righteous, your judgment. See, all of those who are not guilty, pouring out blood, have been shielded from the avenger. And they have been set free by the death of the royal high priest, Jesus the Christ. And the avenger of blood is now about to pour out his wrath on the guilty. May God add great blessing to the reading and preaching of his word. Amen.